watch your mouth. Might be more accurately communicated, watch your heart. Because it is the heart that produces the language.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the real reason we often say things that get us into trouble.
A wise man's heart guides his mouth. That's why God wants to rewire the heart.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Our words can sometimes do incredible damage, but Dr. Evans says the real problem isn't just what's coming out of our mouths, but what's going on in our hearts. Let's join him as he explains.
In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has been doing some marvelous miracles. He has been astounding folk. Beginning with verse 23, he really does a big one. He goes over to a demon-possessed person and he casts out the demons. When the Pharisees saw Jesus do that, they made a statement. They made the statement in verse 24, this man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. In other words, the only way Jesus could cast out demons is that he had the power of the devil enabling him to cast out demons. This leads Jesus to make a statement about the seriousness of your words in verse 31. Therefore, I say to you, any sin of blasphemy shall be forgiven, people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And then he brings up this thing called blasphemy. The word means to speak against. So blasphemy has to do with speaking. They had just spoken. You cast out these demons by Satan. He says, anyone who blasphemes the Son of Man. Notice he didn't say Son of God. He says Son of Man. That is, Jesus is humanity. In other words, Jesus gives credit for ignorance. But once the Holy Spirit has clearly demonstrated that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, once he has manifested like he did to these Pharisees through the casting out of demons, making the blind see, the lame the walk, once Jesus Christ has been shown to be who he is by means of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, once you reject that, there is no longer any hope because you've rejected the best that the Holy Spirit can offer you. And that is the clear, unambiguous statement that Jesus is who he said he was, confirmed by the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. And he calls that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It is when God gives you full light and you reject it. Because once you have full light, there's no other light to give you. In World War II, there was a Navy ship, and this Navy ship was in the Atlantic, true story. And six planes took off from the Navy vessel to bomb the enemy. On their way back, the ship turned out all of its lights so that the enemy would not know its location. But the problem was that the pilots couldn't see where to land because the lights on the ship were out. So they radioed in, "Turn on the lights briefly so we can land." And with great despair, the captain said, "We can't turn on the lights. Because if we turn on the lights, hundreds of lives will be in jeopardy. Because the enemy will be able to bomb us because they will be able to see us." So the six planes continued circling until they ran out of gas. And they plunged to their death because the lights were out. When God turns out the light, because you have, in the full light of the work of the Holy Spirit, rejected Jesus Christ, only darkness remains for time and eternity. If you happen to be here today and you are afraid that this may be your condition, that perhaps you have made that rejection. Perhaps you could be here terrified. Could that be me? I have good news for you. If you're worried about it, it's not you yet. Because that means you've not made a final decision. And so that's why the Bible says now is the day of salvation. In other words, while the light is on, it's time to land that baby and come to Christ for salvation. So to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to reject Jesus Christ in the full light of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's illumination that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. But having said that, Jesus now goes on to a bigger issue. He talked about blasphemy, a specific speech, but now he makes it bigger. Verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. He's spoken about the seriousness of your speech, but now he wants to talk about the source of your speech. He says, if you've got bad fruit, and what he means by that is the fruit, your words, your mouth, only reflects what's in your heart. It is out of your heart, the fullness of your heart, that your mouth speaks, he says. So if you have profane speech, it's because you have a profane heart. If you cuss like a sailor, it's because you got a sailor's heart. If you are a gossip, that's because you have the heart of a gossip. If you are a slanderer, it's because you possess a slanderer's heart. So to fix your mouth when we haven't changed your heart is to not address the tree. It's only to get mad at the fruit. To understand spiritual language, you always, or as much as you can, look for its physical counterpart. So when the Bible talks about you being converted or being saved, it calls you being born again. Because we know what birth is. It's the expression of life. So when the Bible talks about getting new life, eternal life, it talks about being born again. Well, your heart is a pump inside your physical chest. Your physical heart is a pump inside your physical chest. And guess what it does? It pumps life. It pumps the blood that brings the oxygen and the nutrients to the body so that the body is able to function. When the heart stops, life stops. Why? Because it's the pump producing life. It's the centerpiece of life. Well, what the physical heart is to the body, the spiritual heart is to the soul. Inside your soul is your mind, your capacity to think, which is the counterpart to the brain physically. Inside your soul are your emotions, the capacity to feel. And inside your soul is your will, your capacity to choose, because you have a conscience that gives you right versus wrong. So those things make up your soul. The hook that all of those arteries run into, mind, emotions, and will, is the heart. They all run into this thing, this heart called the heart. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And the heart is pumping stuff out. So if the heart is filled with something wrong, that's what's going to pump through the bloodstream of the emotions, of the will, and of the decisions. So when it comes to your speech, your heart begins to pump. But because the heart has been contaminated due to sin, the heart's been, is pumping, but it's pumping wrong stuff. And it's pumping wrong stuff to the mind. When the heart is pumping, ba-boom, 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 wrong stuff to the mind organizes it into a statement. Because you can't talk about something you haven't thought about first. So, bubble, 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 bubble. The heart is pumping, but the heart is a bad tree in this case, and it's pumping bad stuff. That bad stuff hits the mind. The mind has to organize it into a statement. The statement then rolls out the mouth. So what came out the mouth was organized by the mind, having been pumped in by the heart. When you squeeze an orange, you're going to get some orange juice, because that's what's inside. Don't blame the fruit. Proverbs 16:23 says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. That's why God wants to rewire the heart. That leads him to a third point, what I call the survey. Look at what he says in chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh, now he's talking about your speech, but now this is scary, because this is every word. Your mouth has been wiretapped. God has a tap on your mouth, and he says that those words he's going to discuss with us at the judgment. And by those words, stay with me here, you will be judged, justified, or condemned. In other words, he's going to use your own words for you or against you. He says that this is going to be addressed at the judgment.
But there are two kinds of judgments. And Dr. Evans will tell us about both of them when he continues our message in just a moment. They say that actions speak louder than words, but as we've been learning, it's a dangerous mistake to underestimate the power of what we say. After all, who doesn't have a story of pain or regret after saying something they wish they hadn't said? That's why Tony has written a great book called Watch Your Mouth. It builds on what we're learning in our current series and focuses on ways to develop the self-control we need to tame our tongues. These principles are so important that we're offering a copy of Watch Your Mouth along with the companion study guide and resource DVD to anyone who can come alongside Tony's ministry and help with a contribution of any size. Details are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or call us any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will be back after this.
What if you could step off a plane and step into history? Living history, where stories you've heard for years come to life and take on new meaning because you're right there where they happened. Instead of telling your children about the resurrection, imagine standing with them in the empty tomb. Picture yourself on the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, or exploring the Old City of Jerusalem. You can do all this and more on the vacation of a lifetime. And do it with Tony Evans when he hosts his Israel tour in November 2018. You'll enjoy world-class accommodations and delicious meals as you tour the most beloved sites in the Holy Land. There'll be teaching sessions with Tony where you'll learn about the history and significance of the places you visit, plus great music and worship. Best of all, you'll share an unforgettable experience that'll change the way you understand Scripture. Now's the time to make plans since space is limited and slots are already filling up. Check out the complete itinerary at tonyevans.org and make your reservation before it's too late. That's tonyevans.org.
So let me tell you about the two judgments. There is a judgment for non-Christians, and then there is a judgment for Christians. So let me talk about the non-Christian judgment first. It's called the White Throne Judgment. The White Throne Judgment is when all non-Christians will stand before the Lord. This judgment has nothing to do with going to heaven. If you're at this judgment, it means you're not going to heaven. Okay? Only non-Christians go to the White Throne Judgment. The purpose of the judgment is to see how much hell you get. Hell is not the same for everybody. Neither is heaven. There are levels of hell based on your words and your deeds. The only way you get to heaven is accepting Jesus Christ. But even if you don't accept Jesus Christ, there will be different stratas of hell based on your deeds and your words. When a non-Christian stands before God, it says God will open the books and he will examine their works and their words. Christians have a whole nother judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment is where you stand before Jesus Christ to gain or lose your reward. If you're at that judgment, it means you're already saved. But that judgment will determine what God gives you or takes from you in heaven. Heaven is not equal. Everybody has the idea that everybody's the same in heaven. Everybody's not the same. God gave one this, gave one that, gave another this, based on their faithfulness to God in their words and in their works. He says God is going to listen to every careless word, every word that was spoken that was that which was unacceptable to him, and that will be a basis of criteria at the judgment seat of Christ. Now that ought to make you want to watch your mouth. If I got a wiretap in my mouth, if he's listening to every word. And sometimes folks don't hear your words even though you say them. You ever cuss somebody out with a whisper? Or maybe you form the words in your mind and you mouthed them, but there was no audio. You ever did that with your mama or your daddy? When they spanked you for something, they corrected you for something, and you couldn't say what you were thinking, but that didn't stop you from thinking it. God says, I've recorded it all. And we're going to discuss it at the judgment seat. But not merely because of the words, but because of the heart that produced it. Because we're not talking about just an event. We're talking about a way of living. Do you imagine how things would change if people spoke to and about each other differently? You know, some of you wouldn't be in the pain you were in if your daddy or your mama didn't talk to you like a dog, didn't tell you you were nothing, you were going to be nothing, you were nobody, you were a tramp, you were this, you were that, and they distorted you. Your self-image was crushed. He says every word. They will all be accounted for at the judgment seat. So I guess that raises the question, doesn't it? If my problem is not my mouth, but my problem is my heart, how do I fix my heart so I can have a better mouth? So let me take you to one verse. It's Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. After David has been talking about the glory of God in creation and the glory of God according to his word, he leaves you with your method of changing your heart. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He gives you a little prayer. A prayer you should consider beginning your day with every day. Let the words of my mouth, what I say, and since it's connected to my heart, let the meditations of my heart. In other words, what he says is, I want to pray that what I say during today will make God happy, pleasing in your sight. But if I got a problem with my heart, which affects my words, how can I make my heart better so my words will be better, so that I'll be pleasing to you in what I say, how I say it, within our imperfections, but still with a growing way of glorifying God? How do I get that to happen? And he tells you in that verse. He tells you with one word, meditation. He says, let the meditations of my heart. Because your words, we've already seen, are connected to your heart. So he says, the way to get the heart right is to get the meditation right. So that raises a question. What is meditation? Synonyms for meditation would be to fantasize, to contemplate. Let's see if this helps. You're driving down the highway. And as you're driving down the highway, you see a cow. And the cow is grazing in the grass. Now, as I give you this illustration, you must understand, I was born and grew up in a concrete jungle. I don't know nothing about the country. So I had to look this up. You're driving down the highway, you see the cow, and the cow is dribbling. White stuff running down the side of the cow's mouth. You've seen that? Okay. So I want to talk about the cow's dribble and its relationship to meditation. Cows have multiple stomachs. When a cow wants to eat some grass, the cow will go up and pick up some grass or cud or fodder, whatever it is eating, and the cow will chew it and swallow it. But then the cow may want to chew it some more. It'll regurgitate it so it can chew it some more. But now it's mixed with its saliva and it's mixed with the fluids in the stomach. So he's gurgling up part grass, part juice, until it finally swallows it for the last time, because it's now infiltrated every part of the cow system. See, you in church right now chewing on this sermon. You're chewing. The reason I know you're chewing is because you're moving your mouth. Some folk have said amen. Some folk are nodding their head. I know you're chewing. But I also know that for many of us, when church is over, you're not going to vomit it back up. You're going to swallow it. It's going to be gone. You're going to eliminate it in the spiritual restroom. Until you come to chew it next Sunday morning. Which means it will never become part of your system because you never regurgitated it. By the time you get home, this meal will be over. But what God wants you to do is he wants you to chew it. Then he wants you to talk to other folk in the congregation, other folk in your family, other folk in your small group, so you can chew it some more. After a while, it's going to become part of your system. So you got to change the way you talk because you meditated in your heart.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up a message he calls Judgment in Your Jaws. The full-length version of this lesson is available on CD. Just check with us for details on getting a copy. Better yet, you can request it as a part of our current 11-part teaching collection, Watch Your Mouth. All the information you need is waiting for you at tonyevans.org. While you're there, don't forget to request the book I told you about earlier, also called Watch Your Mouth, a look at what God can build into our lives when we control what comes out of our mouths. As I mentioned, it's our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with any contribution, large or small. It's the perfect follow-up to what we've been learning on the broadcast, but be sure to request it right away before this special offer runs out. You can do that online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Sometimes it feels like no matter what we say, nothing changes, as though our lips are moving but nothing's coming out. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk to us about how different things can be when our words are backed up by God's power. You won't want to miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.